This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
We are in this month, is what we call Activate Month. It's just a month in which we think a little bit again about the journey God has put us on as believers, the journey together. And as that video clip showed, that discipleship, which is simply following Jesus, it's not a one-off event. It's not a simple prayer that you pray right at the beginning. It's a journey that we journey on together. And that God has given us the beautiful and the wonderful privilege to be on this journey, not just with Jesus, but also with one another, with friends, with brothers and sisters, people who challenge us, people who comfort us, people who love us, people who support us. And so we're going to take some time this month, and we're going to talk about the different ministries that we have. We're going to talk a little bit about our vision for the year. We're going to talk a little bit about opportunities to serve. And one by one, we'll introduce a few of our leaders. We'll introduce a few of our ministries to you over the next few Sundays. And it was about exactly a year ago, I came back and I shared with you guys concerning just God's heart for the orphans and for those kids who are vulnerable. And I remember just come back from the conference overseas, and I just shared our heart with the congregation. We really believe God has called us to make a difference. That religion, all of this, one day Jesus won't come and ask us, how was your sound? How was the PowerPoint? Was it working all right? Did you jump high enough? None of those things. He will ask us concerning the true and pure undefiled religion. Were you there for the orphans? Were you there for the widows? Were you there for the poor? Were you there for those who couldn't fight for themselves? That's important to Christ. And we prayed and we trusted God to show us step by step how we can begin to make a difference. And so we just on this incredible journey together of discovering what that means. How can we as a church make a difference one small step at a time? And so we're very excited this morning to have Kobe with us, Kobe Aubrey. She has recently moved from Rondebosch in Cape Town. And I met Kobe two or three years ago, at Convergence. And Kobe came and just briefly chatted to me about her heart for kids. And lo and behold, didn't know that our journey and our road was going to link the way that it has. And so I don't want to say too much on Corby's behalf, but we have been trusting God to open up a Kipwe Kids home here where we can take care of orphans and children that need to be fostered. But before that, we said, God, we don't want the home first before you don't provide us with the most crucial part in the whole system. And that is the mom that needs to take need to look after these kids. And so God has blessed us with amazing woman in Kobe, such a passion for the kingdom, such a passion for the body of Christ. She's left a very secure job to uproot herself and to move here to Somerset West. So I thought it'd be a good opportunity for you this morning to get to know her a little bit better, and she'll share more about the dream God has placed in her heart. But let's welcome Kobe in our family. She's already she's got a gift of making friends. She has already been to more people than I have. And went to a birthday party 2 weeks ago, and I was astounded how many people she knows in such a short space of time. So, you're going to be blessed. Thanks, Kobe, for coming. And thank you for the awesome way you've already been supporting us and helping us. Okay.
Morning, everyone. Let me just get my notes going. Yeah, so thank you very much for the opportunity. I just want to say this is my third church service, and I've already made a lot of friends, and there's a lot of nice people in this church, so thank you very much for making me feel welcome and invite me for fish and chips and braai and all sorts of things. I really appreciate it. So as I said, we're going to start a Kipwe Kids home, and we're hoping to do that from the beginning of March. And Heinrich just asked me, there's a lot of places where you guys can get involved and volunteer and lots of things that you can help us with. But before that, I just want to share a little bit with you about how I came to this point. I came to the Lord in 2007, and just after my dad passed away. And I remember all the things that people prayed over me when I got baptized, and when people started praying for me, was that I'm a mother and I'm a comforter and I'm a mother to nations. And it's quite irritating when you hear stuff like that and you don't have a husband, so you can't be a mother. So why are people saying these things? And I didn't realize what the Lord was trying to say to me. And fast forward about 6 years to 2013, when the Lord started speaking to me about this. And then by that time, I was already a mother to a lot of people without really trying. The Lord just gave me a gift to comfort people and to disciple people and to take people under my wing. So then things started becoming a little bit clear for me. And I remember I woke up in 2013 one morning and I just said to the Lord, I have such a desire to please him. I have such a desire to really walk in what he's called me to walk in. And I don't know what it is. And at that time, I was working with teenagers and it wasn't working for me or for them. It was drama. It was really tough. And I realized that this isn't it. And the Lord started speaking to me that morning. He woke me up before my alarm clock went off and he just started speaking to me about fostering and adoption and vulnerable children. And I still didn't really know what it was, but that started a journey of lots of research and fasting and praying and speaking to the Lord and inquiring of the Lord. And the one thing that me and the Lord agreed on the whole time was that I have to stay in his timing. I can't run ahead and just do and run for the first door that opens. I have to stay in his timing. And for me, it was a very important thing as well, because I think we all know doing the right thing out of the Lord's time can be disastrous. So then, as Heinrich mentioned, during that time, he prayed for me, and I'll tell you a little bit more about that just now. But in 2015, about 2 years after the Lord started speaking to me, he said to me that he would like my family to be involved, and he would like me to share with my family what he's speaking to me about. And I don't know what your families are like, but for me, it was a very difficult thing to go and tell my family that I'm going to become a mother to a child from a different culture. And as a single person, it was very difficult. And I had like a fasting team and a praying team, and I had a lot of people interceding for me at the time. And just before I went, I also fasted for a few days. And I remember on the last day of my fast, the Lord, I was speaking to the Lord, and I was there in my room, and I was tidying up books in my bookshelf, and a letter fell out. And I looked down, and I've never seen this letter before, and I saw my dad's handwriting, and my dad passed away 8 years before that. And I picked up the letter, and I started reading it, and it was a speech that my dad wrote to the elders in the church when he was still alive. And basically in the letter, he speaks about when God calls you to be an elder or a deacon, and when God calls you to do something, even if you're afraid, you do what the Lord call you for. And he mentioned Jeremiah and Moses and Gideon in the speech, and he says in all three of those cases, people were really afraid. The Lord called them to do something big, and they were really afraid, and in all three of those cases, the Lord said to them, do not be afraid, I am with you. And then the last part of the letter, my dad just said, if the Lord calls you for something, you never, never say no. You always, always say yes. And it was such a comfort to me, knowing that my dad would have approved if I said to him that this is what the Lord has called me for. So I was very encouraged by that. And then I went to my family and I spoke to my family, and I'm not going to go into the detail of that right now. If you want to know how that went, you can come and chat to me at a later stage. But then in the beginning of 2016, the Lord said to me that he would release me from Shofar Rondebosch, where I was working. And I didn't know where I was going to go. It's great hearing the Lord's going to release you, but then he needs to tell you where he's sending you to, and I had no idea. And sometime through the year, around about May last year, I was reminded of Heinrich praying for me in 2013. And I spoke to my pastor and I said to him, do you know Heinrich? Should I speak to him? I feel the Lord says I should. And he said, yeah, he thinks it's a good idea. Heinrich has a very similar heart. So I came and spoke to Heinrich, and I spoke to Annika as well, who's the director of Kibwe Kids. And it's so amazing because I came to them to just share my heart. I didn't know what was going to happen. I didn't know what the Lord was exactly even saying to me at that time. But the Lord put us together, and he really confirmed a lot of stuff for us. By the time I got here, they were praying for the right mother. So it's really incredible how the Lord brought us together and how the Lord is really speaking to this congregation about the orphans and about the vulnerable. And here I am. I'm completely unqualified. I've never been a mother before. I've never had children of my own before, but I'm obedient, and I'm here to really see what the Lord's going to do for the vulnerable children. And I just want to share a little bit quickly on if you would like to get involved. The places where you can get involved is we are still looking for a house. So if you like to sit on Gumtree for hours and hours and look for houses, please come and speak to me and help us find a house. We would like to move into the house in the beginning of March. And you can come and chat to me about the budget and the things that you need, or you can speak to Heinrich as well. And then we have received so much furniture and toys, and it's incredible. Thank you very much for everything that everyone's given to us. It really speaks a lot about the heart of the people in this church. So please, no more furniture or toys. We don't have place to store them, yeah, for now. And then you can also make financial commitments. It can be a monthly commitment, or it can be a once-off commitment towards Kibwe Kids. And we also are a beneficiary of the Woolies My School project. So if you have a Woolies My School card, please make us your beneficiary. I know Inspire to Become is also one, so you can have dual beneficiary. And then we're definitely going to need a lot of prayer. I'm going to need a lot of prayer, and we would really like people to be responsible for praying for each child as well. So if you want to pray for the children and that is your thing, please come and speak to me as well. And then if you have any fundraising ideas, any way that we can raise funds, please come and chat to me as well. I'm not as creative as a lot of people in this church. And then once we have the house, we're definitely going to need volunteers to come and babysit for an hour so I can go buy food or breathe or do something. So if it's your thing and you like to play with children, you like to take care of children, or you like to comfort children like I do, go ahead and go and have your police clearance done so long. It takes about 2 months, and it's a very quick process, and then you wait for a very long time to receive it back. But it's not a difficult process. So if you want to know more about that, please come chat to me as well. And then, where am I? Then, obviously, service providers. If you're an occupational therapist, or you're a doctor, or you're a physio, or a psychologist, and you would like to offer your services to the children and the house, come chat to me as well. We will start with one child, so it won't take over your full-time job. And any service providers, if you're a mechanic, I just bumped my car recently, please come chat to me. And then birthday arrangements or outings, if you and your children are going on an outing and you would like to invite us along, please do so. And birthday parties for the children, if that's your thing and you would like to arrange a birthday party, that will be amazing. And then if there's families that are already on this journey, or you're already fostering, or you have adopted a child, I would love to learn a lot from you. I think I have a lot to learn. Please come and chat to me as well. Invite me for dinner and we can chat. And also, if you also need a bit of support, come and chat to me as well, or to Heinrich, about how we can support you as Kibwe, because that's what also something we really want to do, is we want to support families out there. And then, very exciting, on the 11th of March, we have adoption and fostering training workshop. It's here at the Shofar Rondebosch office, and it's on a Saturday. And even if you're not on this journey, even if the Lord has not spoken to you about it yet, but you just want to know more, or you want to know more about what we're going to do, anything, come and attend the day. We're going to have people from other adoption agencies also coming to speak to us. So it's really quite an informative day. So please come and join us. It's on the 11th of March. And then for all the sportsmen out there, we've got a Exhilarasis trail running and mountain biking event coming up on the 13th of May. So if you're a mountain biker or you're a trail runner or you're just one of those that do park runs, there's also we also cater for those people. Please join us on the 13th of May. We're also going to need a lot of volunteers for that. So if you want to volunteer on the day, come and help on the food stalls or the fun stalls or help with the parking or the ushering or anything of like that. Come and chat to us as well. We're going to need a lot of volunteers. It's a family-friendly day. We're going to have lots of fun stalls for the children as well. Yeah, and we're aiming for this to become our main fundraising event on a yearly basis, and we're partnering with Procorus to do this, and then we would like to do this every year. So we really want this one to be very successful so that people are excited and people want to come back. And then contact us. We've got a website. It's www.keepwaykids.org. It's not on there, sorry. And then you can contact Anneke or Heinrich or myself if you want to chat or ask any questions. And you can also find us on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram. Thank you very much.
Let me just pray for you. Yeah. Father, thank you so much for your faithfulness and, Lord, for your provision that you send the best, Lord God, as you send Jesus in the fullness of time, that you have sent us Quibi in the fullness of time. We thank you, Lord God, for the little kids that you are already busy preparing, Lord. Father, the circumstances that you know of, Lord, we want to submit this entire process into your hands. Lord, the finances, the right house at the right time, in the right location, Lord. The right children, Father, the right social workers, Lord, involved. Everything, Lord, we submit into your hands. And we thank you that this is your heart. And when we partner with your heart, we partner with you. And we can expect you to be present. Thank you for how, Lord God, this will change our lives. How, Lord, this will begin to even give us a greater understanding of your great heart, Lord, your Father heart. So we pray, Lord, for all the needs that Quibi has, Lord, a new job, Lord God, finding accommodation, Lord God, all those practical things. And we thank you for your blessing. You've gone ahead of it to make a way for her, Father. And we partner with her and we say, Lord, it's not just her heart, it's our heart, Lord God, because it's your heart. And we're united in you, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thanks, Quibi. And I really just want to echo what Quibi says. I've just been astounded going just over these last few months, this last year or so, going to our different Shofar congregations, and in every congregation there are just couples coming and saying, look, we are fostering, we want to foster, and it's just amazing to see. So there's something so beautiful that's happening, which I'm very excited about. And if it's living in your heart in some way or another, please come and chat to us. All right, each and every one of our NGOs are important to us, but we don't want to just dump them all on you. All right, so we're going to, over the next few Sundays, we're going to be looking at different ones in different places. So I know that you've already received a lot. Just allow me to read one or two verses for you, and then we'll close off in prayer. So if in your Bibles you can turn with me to John 17, verse 21. And you will also find on your seats, we still have some of these announcement sheets. Please keep them with you. Put them in your Bible. We've made them small, not to challenge your eyesight, but so they can go into your Bible, you can have a look at them. We also got some Kipwe Kids cards, I think, at the info table. So if you need some more info or you want to share with a friend or you've got a doctor's counseling room somewhere, whatever, you want to put some down there to chat to us, we'd love for you to spread the word. And a few weeks ago, I started chatting to us about just what does it mean to follow Christ. We spoke about the fact that following Christ is a lifelong journey. We spoke about the fact that in different stages of our lives, God comes and he asks us different things, that God's requirement of a newborn believer is different than to someone who's been walking with the Lord for quite a while. It's a journey, it's a continuous journey, it's a very unique journey, it's a special journey, it's an individual journey, but it's also a corporate and a collective one. And my desire for all of us is that even during the fasting time, that we'll pray and we'll ask God, God, in this year, you've placed some stuff in my heart, how can this how can this dovetail with what you're telling the church? And how can I also add my weight to what's happening within church itself? And so the word for us for this year as a shofar group of churches comes from John 17, verse 21. And it's Jesus' prayer. And Jesus prays and he says, I pray that they will all be one. And Jesus praying for the disciples he had and for the disciples that will come. Just as you and I are one, as you are in me, Father, and I am in you, and may they be in us so that the world will believe that you sent me. And this is the word that the Lord gave us, and this is the word that we are praying through. This is the word that we are wrestling through. This is the word that we are talking through. This is the word that we are living through, asking God, God, come and show us how we can truly be one. Come and show us how we can be one in heart. Come and show us how we can be one in deed. How can we be one in mind? How can we be one in vision? What does it mean? Does it mean that we all look the same, we all dress the same, we all have the same accents, we all sing the same songs? What does it mean? Does it mean that within the diversity of the giftings that God has given us, there is something beautiful that happens when all of that comes together? What does it mean? I want to extend the invitation to you that you will go on this journey with us, that you will pray through it as well. What does it mean to be one for us here in Shofar Summers of the West? What does it mean for us to be one as a congregation? What does it mean for us to be one with the rest of the body of Christ? It's a beautiful opportunity opening up for us to have a joint prayer service with another church in Strand, which I'm so excited about. Where we can get together as a congregation with them, and we can pray together. We can worship together. Now, that excites me because I feel that it's so part of God's heart. But what does it mean for us as we come together here on a Sunday and as we do life together? And I believe there are one or two things that we can start with. And so I want to take you to John 13, and it is just before Jesus' death, and it's the passage of Scripture that comes from his last meal together. Now, it says, now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And I was reading that, and that last portion of that scripture just stood out to me and encouraged my heart. It says, he loved them to the end. Amen? He loved them to the end. There's so much that's happening in between us saying yes to Christ and us meeting him one day, isn't there? There's a lot happening. There's a lot going on in life. There's a lot of beautiful things happening, and there's a lot of challenging things happening as well. There are a lot of things we are proud of, a lot of things we would want to say, look at this and see how Christ has transformed my life. Look at this and see how I managed to overcome this challenge or this obstacle. And then there are many things, of course, that we are not so proud of. Many things which we would not want other people to see. Many things that we are maybe not as excited about. And yet all of those things, as Paul says, the height and the width, the demons and the angels and the sicknesses and the poverty, all of those things, Christ says he loves them to the end. And for me, that is the beginning of our unity, is that Christ loves us to the end. He loves us through all of our stuff, through all of us trying to figure out what this means, through all of us maybe hurting one another from time to time or misunderstanding each other. Christ loves us. He loves us to the end. And I want to encourage you with this. Doesn't matter where you are at in your life. Doesn't matter what challenge it is that you're facing. Christ loves you, and he will continue to love you until the very end. There is no end to his love. But it says before Jesus enters into that final hour, he knows his end is coming. And it's not a pleasant end. It's a traumatic end. It's a physically challenging end. It's emotionally challenging. It's spiritually challenging on so many different levels. This was going to be a stressful time for him. He knows this is coming. Jesus does something. Takes the focus off himself. And we see in verse 2, during supper, when the devil had already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. So Jesus knows what Judas is going to do. He knows what lives in his heart. He knows the anger there. He knows the bitterness there. He knows the betrayal there. Jesus still, verse 3, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going back to God, he rose from supper. And I love this because it speaks here of the fact that Jesus knew to whom he belonged. He knew that he was God. He knew that he was going into a time that was going to be very tough, but he knew that that time was also in God's hands. He knew who he was. It says he knew that the Father given all things into his hands. And I believe that's the same for us. Paul says that Christ, God, who he has given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. He has given us everything that we need. He has given us so many talents, so many gifts, so many incredible experiences. I mean, if we just look at this room, the collection of incredibly gifted people in this room is astounding. The opportunities we have, the giftings we have, the anointings that we have upon our lives, it is amazing. The potential in this room is incredible. And any one of us, if we put our minds to it, and if we really trust God, we can change our environment. We can change so much around us. So many incredible giftings. This is Kobe shared with us, an amazing journey she's on. Each one of us are on a journey like that, with dreams and hopes and words inside of our hearts. And God is busy working those things together. But I believe that there's something that Jesus displayed here where he knows God has given everything into his hands. He knows that he can do anything that he wants to do. And yet, in that moment, he chooses to do something very specific. He rose from supper. So he got up. You've seen the famous The Last Meal painting. They were reclining. Weren't sitting. I think it would have been better for parents back then, eh? With your kids. Don't have to tell them sit up straight. They could just continue lying while they're eating. So maybe we need to go back to the way Jesus did it. But in any case, we'd make for less fights around the table. Just continue lying. But they were lying next to the table as they were eating, reclining, and then Jesus got up. All right, and so I believe that's one of the first things that when we talk about unity, and we talk about just going into this here collectively, it will require us to get up. Whenever something great or whenever something small needs to be done in the kingdom, whenever change needs to happen, whenever somebody's life needs to be impacted, whenever there's a difference to be made, someone always has to get up first. Someone has to be first to get up. Someone has to be first to initiate, to hope, to dream, to love, to forgive, to repent. Someone has to get up. And I want to pray with you, and I want to ask that you would pray. It says, God, where is it that I need to get up from? Where is it maybe that I've become comfortable, or maybe I've grown tired, and I've just gone to lie down? It says that Jesus got up from supper. He laid aside his outer garments. And isn't that so true? That whenever we engage with one another, whenever we think about walking together in unity and serving each other, there's some stuff we need to lay aside, isn't there? You've got to take some stuff off. You've got to take some opinions off. You've got to take some experiences off. You've got to take some hurts off. You've got to take some failures off. You've got to take some perceptions of other people and how they will behave and relate to you. You've got to take those things off. You've got to unburden yourself. You've got to take it off. And maybe some of us, we've got to make a decision this morning even to say, God, what has been, I will take that off. I will lay it aside. It says, and then he takes the towel and he ties it around his waist, and They would keep towels aside in the rooms, and those towels were specifically designated for the slaves to use. Towels that they used in service. And we see that the disciples, of course, if we go to the next verse, verse 5, it says, then he poured water into a basin, and he began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with a towel that was wrapped around him. And we all know the context. We know that the feet, obviously, it's the worst part of a human being's body at that particular time, just in case of what it was exposed to. No fancy toilets, okay, no lovely baths and showers. Toilets were cleaned out in the street, and the dogs and the animals did their stuff in the street. And so when we talk about feet, those feet, they were uniquely fragranced. Okay, they were touched in many different ways. And so that particular task of washing guests' feet, it was only the lowest of the slaves, and even the slaves, there was a hierarchy, and the lowest of the slaves did that. So within this context, at this meal, as you can understand as well, the guys are lying next to each other, so you were also in close proximity to somebody else's feet. And none of the disciples, if you read some of the previous chapters there, you see entering into this meal, what was at the forefront of their conversations and their thoughts was, who will sit next to God one day in heaven? Who will get the ultimate reward? That's where they were preoccupied with. And so they're at this table, they're eating, and then Jesus comes up and Jesus turns the whole thing on its head. Goes countercultural. And I believe that's still what Christ does today. And being one still means the same thing. It's countercultural. It's not being one around absolute agreement on everything. It's not being one around cultural identity. It's not being one around even just social identity. Speaking the same language and coming from the same social background goes beyond that. Christ comes and he demonstrates something so blessed, something so beautiful, yet something so profoundly challenging. And my appeal to myself, to my own heart, first of all, I was thinking about it this morning. Heinrich, have you become comfortable in your service to the people of God? Because here we see that Christ comes and he was going to die for the sins of the world. He was. He was going to go through that process for the world. But before he gets to the world, he ministers to his brothers first. He ministers to his brothers first. And he ministers to them in a way that none of them actually was prepared to minister to one another. He washes their feet. And I think Christ looked beyond the cow dung and the horse manure and the mud and all of those stuff. He looked beyond all of that. And where other people saw my brother's stinking feet, he saw beautiful feet. And he washed them. And he served them. So my message this morning simply is, can we trust God this year when we look at different ministry opportunities and different serving opportunities? Can we trust God to see the feet that will be at the receiving end of those ministries? And can we trust God to do what Jesus did, and that is to gird ourselves, to unburden ourselves of all pressure, of all obligation, of all misunderstanding, whatever it might be, and let's get low and dirty again. And let's love one another. Let's serve one another. Because there, Simon, he comes to Simon Peter, and Simon Peter says to him, Lord, do you wash my feet? And I love this about Peter. He's always responsive. He's always uncomfortable. And the other guys, they were just thinking uncomfortable thoughts. Peter would always speak uncomfortable thoughts, right? It would just come out of his mouth. It's like, Lord, what are you doing? I should be doing this. And Jesus says to him, what I'm doing, you don't understand now, but afterwards you will understand. And then Peter obviously says, okay, Jesus, but you will never wash my feet. You don't know how dirty they are. You're making me feel so guilty. And Jesus, just relax. Just receive. Some of you are in this congregation and you should maybe even be doing a little bit less. But should open up your heart to receive. Should open up your heart to just go to a Bible school or just go to a divorce recovery or just go to a marriage enrichment or just go to Evergreen or just be in a place where you can sit and you can receive and other people can love you. Go to a small group where you don't have to be the one teaching and the one that has all the answers, but just relax. Be there. Allow them to love you. Because receiving is as big a part of what we need to grow in. It's fascinating how often, even for myself, I need to challenge myself and say, I know you need to receive right now. You need to ask someone to pray for you. You need to ask someone and open up to them and not just give all the time. Because sometimes it's something you can hide behind, just giving. Maybe for some of us, we need to grow into becoming one in receiving, even if some of us need to become one in giving. Then verse 12, I'm just jumping one or two verses. When he had washed their feet, and when he had put on his outer garments and resumed his place, he said to them, do you understand what I've done to you? I think it's a question Jesus can probably still ask us as well. Do you understand what I've done? And how will that impact you? How will that impact my life? How will that impact my life as a husband towards my wife and towards my kids? My life as a pastor. Do you understand what I've done? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. So he is the one worthy to be worshipped. But if I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I've given you an example that you also should do just as I have done to you. So I don't really want to say too much because I might do scripture an injustice. But I want to leave this with you. If Christ has done that for us, washed his brother's feet, where does it leave you and where does it leave me as followers of Christ? And what does it mean to wash a brother's feet? What does that mean? I'm going to leave that with you and ask you to go and pray about that. What will it mean for me to wash my brother's and my sister's feet this year. How will I do that? What do I need to lay aside and what do I need to take upon myself? I cannot give you that answer. We can simply create opportunities for us as a family, but you've got to make that decision and you've got to think about it. And so I want to invite you to go on this journey with us. May we be a feet-washing church. May we be a church that just strips ourselves of stuff that want to keep us trapped in sometimes being so right that we don't see the feet on the other side. A long time ago, the Lord gave me a vision just of Jesus' feet, and I share it often, coming into this house. And he challenged me, and he asked me, would you recognize my feet when it enters? Because it might not look the way that you think it does. Will you recognize my feet? And the reality is, I mean, if you were just to take a sneaky peek to the left, sneaky peek to the right, don't glare, all right, don't stare, just Jesus' feet is to your left, and Jesus' feet is to your right. What will you do with those feet? Let's pray. Father, we honor you and we thank you that you are good. We honor you and we thank you that you are not like us. You are different. That makes you God. You've come in the form of your Son, the fullness of the Godhead, having received everything from the Father. And yet you came as a servant, came to strip yourself, to wash our feet. I want to thank you that even, Lord, in the worship this morning, that you came to wash our feet through your presence. You came to wash our feet through your word. I want to pray, Lord, for those of us in this room this morning that maybe don't have confidence to come and lie at the table. Those of us who are afraid of just becoming vulnerable, having people see our vulnerable spots, having people see our feet. And I pray, Lord, that we will hear your invitation, that there's room at the table for each one of us. There's space at the table for us. And I pray that you will make us, Lord, a church family that loves to hang around with one another, loves to be at the table with one another. So often, Jesus, you were just eating with your friends. May that be true for us, Lord, that we would truly love being with one another. May we not just hang around with those that we feel comfortable with, Lord, but may we stretch ourselves and get out of our comfort zones, knowing that as we get together to dine, you are dining with us. So, Father, I pray that you will come and that in this year that you will come and give us a revelation of what it means to see the feet around us through your eyes. We know that you've called us, Lord, to be fishers of men. We know that you've called us, God, to go out and to cast out our nets and to bring in the fish, the lost who need you so desperately. At the same time, Lord, we acknowledge you have given us brothers and sisters already. You have given us those who are already sitting at the table with us. Help us to follow you, Christ, not just into catching the fish, but also to follow you into washing the feet of those around us. And Lord, in the same breath, we acknowledge that washing our brothers and our sisters' feet is washing your feet. And therefore, it's not a burden. It's a privilege. And we acknowledge that, and we thank you for the privilege that you have given us to know your body, the privilege you have given us to serve her, to love her, and to honor you through the way we honor each other. In Jesus' name, amen. You might want to look to the person sitting next to you and say, hey, you've got beautiful feet. I love your feet. All right, I love your feet. It is spectacular. It is beautiful. It is glorious. Of course, it's Christ's feet. The Lord bless you. I love you. If you have any prayer needs, please, we'd love to pray with you. Have an amazing, please, before you go, that's why I need my brothers around me. We're going to sit just where we are. And the ushers are going to hand out communion, all right? And we're going to pray for each other. We're going to plead the blood of Jesus over our feet. Feet speak of where we live, where we walk, where we go. And all our feet between Sunday and Sunday, we go many different places. Amen. Tough places, places where there are baboons sometimes, places where there are a lot of challenging things. The blood of Jesus Christ binds us together. So I want to encourage you that as we hand out the communion elements, that you would share that with somebody sitting next to you, and that you would pray for them. Specifically, bless their feet. Bless them where they will go. Bless them where they work. Bless them where they live. Bless them where they do family time together. You can start handing out for us, guys. Thanks. And let's invite the unity of Christ into our midst, because only Christ can give that to us. So just be seated for a while. Let me just grab one. There you are.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.